Hello and welcome to Mentality Matters. It's our brand new podcast. I suppose we're here to talk about everything mental health.
Hello, I'm Vicky.
And my name is Billy.
And we're excited to share our new creative project with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this has been, I suppose it's been in the works for a couple of weeks now. We've had a few rehearsals and here we finally are.
Yes, and somehow it's feeling harder today.
Yeah, I know. It's because today's the real day.
There's a microphone right in my face.
So, Vicky, tell us a little bit about Mentality Matters.
Well, we are here to try and unpack, my word, all of the different aspects of mental health. We plan to have a different theme each week and interview people who are experiencing that theme, whatever it might be, whether it be personally, professionally. And we just really want to look at it at all angles and work out, you know, what we can do to help support each other as a community and help sort of raise awareness and reduce stigma.
Yeah, so a very general overview of what we're going to do. We're super excited about it and it's important to us.
So important. That's how we made friends, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's how we are such good friends with each other as well.
Exactly. Ah, I like that.
So I guess now that we've covered the basics of what we're doing, we'll talk to you a little bit about who we are.
Yes.
Okay.
Am I going first for that?
I think you should.
Exciting times. My name is Vicky. I am a single mum, four kids, and I met the wonderful Billy here working in a coffee shop. My 6 month period of working in a coffee shop that Billy still works at. I didn't get fired. That's another story. I study at the Institute of Art and Therapeutic Education, and I'm training as a therapeutic wellbeing practitioner. And I have my own issues with PTSD, anxiety and depression and agoraphobia. And I guess my real passion is the link between mental health and trauma and how we hold it in our bodies and how everything that happens to us affects our ability to cope in the world. So that's why I'm here.
Okay. Well, my name is Billy. I'm 26 years old and I am non-binary because I just don't have the time to conform to the gender binary roles.
Don't have the time. I like that.
Don't have the time. It's just too much nonsense. I still work in the said coffee house where I met Vicky and actually most of my good friends now. I study travel and nature writing at Bath Spa, and I've got a whole host of creative projects I'm working on right now because I like to stay busy. Again, I've got my own stuff. I've got Tourette's syndrome, OCD, ADD, but I suppose living a life where I've had to cope with all of these has driven my passion for mental health.
Yeah. And I think we connected straight away, didn't we? Because we kind of saw, I think when you struggle with these kinds of things, you see it in others too.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
And it helps bring people together
it's
in
like
a way.
It's like a beacon.
Yeah. Hi, this is a mental beacon. Okay, so we also wanted to talk to you about a typical day for us. So today we're not going to have different, we're not going to have a theme. The theme is really just you getting to know us.
Yeah.
So we thought to sort of share with you a typical day in our lives of what it's like to cope with these issues.
So my typical day is usually centered around work and my Tourette's. It sounds, I don't know, I guess it sounds a bit strange to anybody who doesn't have Tourette's, but it's something that I've been living with for 15 years now. So I suppose I get up in the morning, head into work, go about my daily business, but there's always that feeling at the forefront of my mind that I need to be suppressing my Tourette's, and perhaps it's not the most healthiest way to deal with it, but it's the way that I've always learned. And suppressing Tourette's is weird. It sort of feels like holding in a yawn constantly. And there
that.
Vicky goes. Vicky's got this funny thing where you just say the word yawn and she goes for it. It's like a command.
I'm a very sensitive human being.
But yeah, so there's no real stress. I can get, I suppose, triggers from other areas if I'm too stressed or I'm too tired, if I've had a bad day the day before.
If you're tipsy.
If I'm a little bit tipsy. These are all things that might make my day a bit harder. And generally as well with OCD, I've got a good grasp on that. But if I'm having a bad day on the OCD, then it just makes things a little bit slower.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always admired how much effort you put into just being able to get through the day. Because I think, you know, you deal with so much and having to push all of that down, mm-hmm. like it's a lot.
Yeah. It can be, but I suppose I've stopped seeing it that way, which is why I call that a typical day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So a typical day for me is very different. We do have a lot of similarities. Yeah, we both struggle definitely. With sleep. And we both struggle getting up, I think. Mm-hmm. Getting up is probably because of the sleep. Sometimes I get woken up by my anxiety and then it's like a ping. And then I'll have a weird day where I'm like, today I've just got all this energy. But other days it's just so draining because I'm constantly just trying to build up the confidence to just start the day. And the agoraphobia side of things is, you know, it's always there because I feel the urge to hide away. My friends help with that a lot. My dog helps with that. I have got my coping ways, but when things get too much, I do retreat back to my bedroom and hide. But my anxiety is very irrational. It's like intrusive thoughts that, you know, that we all kind of get, but I seem to sometimes lack the ability to hush them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'll give an example. The other day I was at the park with my kids and there was a dude there with no kids. He's just wandering about and then he goes, sits on a bench. You know, most people might have that fleeting thought of, oh, is he a bit of a weirdo? And that starts in my mind. And then I go, that man's definitely a weirdo. That man's carrying a knife. That man's going to stab me and my children. He's going to kidnap us. And it just manifests to a point which is so, so irrational, but to the point where, you know, I did have to leave and take my kids home. When I got home, I was like, oh, that's silly. That was a bit much. But I genuinely believed it in the moment. A lot of people would consider that quite crazy, I suppose. Well, but that's quite normal for me.
It's strange hearing you talk about it, Vicky. And I know we've already had these discussions, but it really takes me off guard every time because just being around you, I never get that from you. And I think you've got a little bit of what I've got, and you compose yourself very well on a typical day.
Yeah.
At least it never seems to manifest very physically, at least to somebody on the outside. You may be feeling it inside. So
yeah, that's true. And I think also I've been in therapy for years and I have medication as well, which has reduced all of that. And I do have the ability on a typical day, not on a bad day, to often stop myself in my tracks now. Like I will still leave, but I'll leave before I get to the point where I'm like, oh my God, we're all going to die. You know, I'll leave because I'm feeling the snowball. Mm-hmm. Snowballing.
Snowballing, yeah.
Yeah. So it's time to leave. I guess it's avoiding those, getting to that point as well.
So just having some degree of control over it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which we both have, but in very different ways.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah. And then there's the depression side of things as well. And PTSD, complex PTSD, which is what I have. I think that's a really challenging one. And that was hard to get diagnosed with. And I didn't know I had it until year before last. Mm-hmm. And I think what's hard about that is that you don't know all your triggers. It's, some of the triggers I've figured out through therapy and I can either avoid them or I can now talk to myself and being like, as my therapist used to say, hello, old friend, which means you're being triggered here, talk yourself through it. And so there are some things that I could never do that I can do a bit now on a typical day, not on a bad day. But there are other triggers. I have no idea that they were a thing. Like the other day, I got triggered by some woman's glasses. Then I was having panic attack after panic attack after panic attack, you know, which is, you know, yeah. I could not see that coming. So you can't control all the triggers of that.
Yeah. And I suppose that links us quite nicely into bad day.
Bad day.
So, as everyone listening knows, there are the typical days and then there are the bad days, the cripplingly horrific bad days.
Oh, fun.
So we thought we'd give a little snippet about our bad days as well, because they're a very real part of suffering with mental health issues, and actually probably more important than a typical day, because they need attention.
They do. And I think it's also really important, like if you're going to the doctor for help or anyone for help, to talk about your bad days, not your typical days, because that's, you know, that's the crux of what really is going on. That's what you need support with the most.
Yeah. And it's very easy, actually, as I found out, this is something that I do, to come out of a bad period and be like, oh, actually,
I'm fine.
I don't need to go to the doctor. I don't need to talk to anyone.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely fine. But
then
no,
it'll come around again, because it always does.
Yeah. If you've had a bad period, it's going to come again. I'm sorry, it's going to come again.
Tell us about your bad day.
I will tell you about my bad day. So, a bad day for me.
Bad day for you.
It's never really a bad day. It's usually a bad week or a bad month. And that's because it almost always involves my depression, which is a relatively new revelation for me, because I never realised that I suffered from depression, because I'd see all these things online about if you're depressed, you can't shower, you can't get out of bed, you can't clean your house, your hygiene is awful. Mm. And I was like, oh no, that's not me at all.
I'm
fine.
It the Hollywood version, but yeah, what it is on TV, you know.
So I was like, what? No, none of that. That's not me. But actually, as it turns out, I can be very depressed. Mm. So I'll wake up, drag myself out of bed, and unfortunately I'm feeling very sorry for myself, which I hate, but it happens.
And then that feeds the depression more, because you feel bad for feeling sorry for yourself.
I know, like there are people out here that are going through so much worse, and here I am, my nice little life, feeling very sorry for myself. But it happens, and you can't put pressure on yourself for that.
Mm, she said, they said, sorry.
It's all good. As I already mentioned earlier, I like to keep busy. So I've always got many, many things going on, but they get 10 times harder in the bad times because I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I've suddenly lost all motivation. Mm-hmm. All I want to do is lay in bed, eating bad food, mm-hmm. and just
wallow.
Yeah, wallowing until it's all done.
Yeah.
But no, I got to get up. I got to go to work. I've got to do uni work. I've got to come and do podcast rehearsals, or I need to do blog writing, or I need to send an email to someone because I said I'd do some piece of artwork for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gets very, very much, which is what then triggers the anxiety.
Because of the pressure of all the things that you need to be doing. Yeah.
And it sort of all culminates into one big messy scribble ball of anxiety and sadness, and I'll have panic attacks, I'll have very occasionally hallucinations, which are a big part of my past, which I suppose I'll go into another time. Hallucinations, and it all feels very overwhelming. I think that I've completely regressed, and I haven't made any progress at all with my mental health. And it's hard to see a light at the end of the tunnel. I've got to sit there and remind myself this will end.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bad day for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think my bad days can... I've certainly had days like that. I don't have hallucinations. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, the agoraphobia and depression and anxiety, they all trigger each other. But I think I can also get to the point of apathy where I just don't care about, and I can be a bit more the Hollywood depressed. I cannot shower, not put makeup on. My house is a tip anyway, but it's even more of a tip. I I think the only thing I am able to do, which I've learned because I'm a mother, is when I'm having constant panic attacks or I'm having a day where I... Because it's physically exhausting, isn't it? Yeah. You're physically
oh, absolutely,
exhausted.
Yeah.
I will ask someone to come and pick up the children. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a day and sometimes it's a week. And that, you know, a bit like what you were saying, it feeds the guilt because I feel like I should be with my children, but I also know my children shouldn't be seeing this. And I do talk to them about it openly, but I also don't want them to have to live with that.
No, it's a weird
it's
one.
It's a difficult thing. And yeah, I think, you know, especially when sleep is bad, you know, when the insomnia is there and medication isn't really working and nothing is really working, I can get very self-destructive, very... Like I'd sort of try and sabotage relationships or, you know, and I might drink too much, smoke too much, like whatever. I feel the need to kind of harm myself really because I feel like I shouldn't be alive.
Yeah.
However, through all my lovely years of therapy, interestingly enough, when it comes to suicidal thoughts, which is obviously a very sensitive topic, and we'd love to hear any of your thoughts and on this. But I have taught myself now in these pits to be able to say it will pass. Not all the time, but I'm getting a lot better at it because it does pass.
Yeah.
And I've also taught myself that if I'm really feeling like I want to hurt myself, it's a need for change. And I'm starting to learn to wallow or whatever it is we need to do, knowing that when I've finished, I will need to make a change. And that is usually what it is.
Which actually is a really great thing to be able to do. And I suppose now that you have that, it gives you a really good kind of working point.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it does. And when it does happen, I can't say it's always like that. On a very, very bad day, it's like a hole that you can't get out of and you're stuck there and you can't ever imagine, you know, not being stuck there. So everything else in life seems pointless.
Yeah.
And impossible. And I do, you know, I do have a lot of inconsistency with jobs. With work, not with the work that I do with young people because I only do that part time because I make sure that I don't take on too much with that because I care about them so much. But when it comes to other jobs to fund my household, I do bits here and there because I'll have periods of time where I can handle a job just fine. And then I'll have periods of time where I just feel like I'm never going to be a human being that can work and be well enough. And that's really difficult to live with that.
Yeah, that's one area where you and I really
differ. We're opposite, aren't we? Yeah.
So for me, I can't function if I'm not busy.
Yeah.
There is nothing I hate more and really struggle with more than having nothing to do.
Yeah.
So right now I only work, I suppose, income-wise, part-time. But I have so much other stuff.
Yeah, you fill your time.
Because I can't manage. I can't physically manage my mental health without it. And that's been part of my journey.
I envy that. I kind of want that. We said we need a balance between us, don't we? Because I find myself, I come up with millions of ideas. But then I always get to the point where I'm like, well, you're not going to do it anyway. And I think also because I get triggered by things like noise, light, people, crowds, I get overwhelmed, I get very overstimulated. That's why I feel the need to hide away in a safe space. So it means going out into the world feels very dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So those are our typical days and our bad days.
Bad day.
That was interesting, wasn't it?
I think so. I like to think so. Obviously, every episode we're not going to be talking this much about ourselves, but I think it's an important way to get a feel for it.
Yeah. And also I think one thing we want to talk about every week and have different opinions on is, you know, how can we offer support to people who are struggling with these kinds of things?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, how would you like to be supported if you're in these places?
For me, it's a weird one because I am a bit weird. I don't like talking about it. How do I say this? So I almost just expect people to know, which isn't good because they can't know because I put on a very good front.
Mm-hmm.
I put on a very, very, very good front and it's almost as if nothing is wrong. So the other day, for example, I got triggered by something at work. Now, this doesn't normally happen for me. I normally have a couple of days build up when I have a bad anxious period, but the other day something happened and I was all of a sudden very, very anxious at work and nobody really knew because I was putting on such a good front.
You were, I was there. But one, that's what I learned about you sort of around that time is, and this is what I find so interesting and I'm going to keep this in mind now, always, now, you know, when I'm with you, is you slow everything down. You seem calmer.
Yeah.
When you're struggling, and it's just obviously your way of processing slowly and getting through.
Yeah.
But it gives off this calm vibe. You know, I almost wanted to cuddle up to it. I was like, so calm.
Deceptive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that, obviously.
Yeah.
But I suppose for me, the way I would like people to offer me support, I like to be distracted.
Yeah.
So I, rather than a message saying, you know, I'm here if you need to talk, I want, do you want to come over?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go out for coffee? Do you want to just go somewhere, go for a walk? And then for me, usually that's the gateway to speaking about it, but I cannot handle
raising it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't raise it. And also if somebody's pushing me to raise it, what's wrong? Come on, I can see that you're anxious. What's wrong?
That's making all the tingles on my spine go up just that.
Yeah.
Reminds me of being at school when like a teacher takes you into the room and goes, what's happening at home?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it always makes me feel like a little bit violent, like, you know, cornered. It's hard to deal with, even though people mean it from the best place.
Oh, absolutely. But I think that's part of the problem with mental health and the way it's perceived is that's almost the only way that people know how to offer support. Mm. I'm here for you.
Yeah.
Great. That's really good to know. But also it doesn't do anything for me personally. And please correct me if I'm wrong.
I mean, I like people saying I'm here for you. That makes me feel comfortable because it makes me feel like I can go to you if I need to, but it's not pressure.
Yeah.
It's when someone said, it's when people try and fix or rescue or swoop in and superhero, or if they just try and pretend like nothing's wrong. You kind of want a medium, don't you?
Yeah.
But I think the other thing that we kept saying the other day was being seen and being heard, isn't it? Just being seen, being heard. Noticing and really feeling noticed, and really that's all it is. It's not like anyone needs to do anything, actually.
No, not at all.
Just have to notice and show that you care by noticing.
Yeah, because there is a definite difference between listening and hearing.
Yeah,
like it's okay to say you're there to listen, but you need to hear that person. You don't always have to say anything back. Just hear them.
Yeah
But everybody,
or even hear what their body's saying, or what you know, if they're saying, I need some time alone, but it's nothing to do with you, hear that.
Yeah.
Because we all take things really personally. But actually, I think one of the hardest things about living with someone with mental health as well is you always want to make it better, especially if it's your child or if it's your parent or if it's your partner. You know, but it's really hard to go, what am I doing that's making you so sad? Or what am I doing?
Yeah.
You're not. It's us.
Yeah. Everyone needs different support.
Yeah.
So please jump into our DMs.
That can lead us on to
Question of the week.
real delay there.
I was building up, but actually you can't see my physical build up to the dramatic jingle, so it didn't work as I intended.
I felt like you slowly turned your head towards me like it was coming. So question of the week, Billy, what was question of the week?
So this week we went for a very generic, what is the most unexpected way you've found to support your mental health?
Yes.
We had some excellent answers.
We really did.
And
actually,
so many more than I was expecting, which makes me very happy.
Yeah. So the the answers we got through Instagram. And through message, text message, because, you know, obviously a lot of people are our friends at this point. And I think just through face-to-face interactions as well, didn't we?
Yeah, we had a couple like that. And we're going to keep them anonymous for this episode because nobody actually told us if they wanted their name out there. But in future...
If you want your name out there...
If you want us to mention your name, please do just tell us.
Yeah.
And we will, quite happily.
Yeah. So we had someone saying sunbeds. And microdosing, which was an interesting one.
Which I said, actually, almost the same thing because it's a sunbed, you're microdosing on vitamin D, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. And microdosing is a very controversial thing. However, we have been learning, which is something we'll talk about on another episode in more depth, but how they are planning to prescribe things like ketamine, obviously in a safe environment, because they open up, it opens up parts of the brain that we can't access otherwise to help with depression and things that. So, you know, I remember learning this in a, we had a lecture about it and I just sort of put my hand up and said, so the kids have been doing it right all this time. But you can sort of see why it is. If it's if it helps, it helps. Not condoning it, not. It's just interesting.
Yeah, this is a judgment-free zone.
Absolutely. Music's a big one. We've had a lot of people
music,
and that's definitely one for me, especially if I'm overstimulated and need, like, you know, because I don't like public.
Okay, just while we're here, I would like to remind you all that we do have an email, mentalitymatterspodcast@gmail.com. I will be setting up a Twitter for us sometime this week.
You're so clever.
But I've also been setting up my own personal professional Twitter, so there's a lot going on.
Yeah. Well, I love that you can do all these things because I can't.
So please reach out, contact us.
Yeah.
Tell us anything that you hated, that you loved, that you want us to do differently.
That you related to, that you didn't relate to, didn't agree with. Also, make sure you look out on our Instagram for our next week's question of the week, which is a good one. I'm excited about that one.
Yeah, so, me too. Yeah. And lastly, I would like to thank Mr. Corin Shanks.
Corin, say hey.
Hey.
Yeah, thank you for recording us today. And you're going to see our amazing, what do you call it? Logo.
Logo
soon from our beautiful friend Finn, who we will be interviewing at some point as well.
Yes, we will.
So thank you guys. You've
thank
made it
you
all
very
possible.
Much.
We love you lots.
Signing off.
Okay, bye.